Numbers 9 and then Romans 12. So we read some of the Old Testament for our learning, comfort, instructions. And in Numbers 9, it reveals that the Lord, when a person wants to seek to do right, and let's say they miss the opportunity or the plan A, the Lord is more than willing to have plan B and C and D and E and F, whatever is needed. We live in a throwaway society, and you often hear preachers say that this teenager, this so-and-so, ruined their life. And I don't believe that. I don't believe you can ruin your life, per se. You can scar it, and you got a scar to deal with, but the Lord's not going to throw you away. He don't believe in a throwaway society for his children. So in Numbers 9, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. Help us to be faithful to thee. And when we come across the path of some folks that may be on plan C, D, E, F, G, somewhere along the line, just as long as they get in some plan, I just pray you'd help us to see that you are a God who is flexible when one's heart is right, trying to do right, miss the opportunity, but yet they're going to seek to do the opportunity. And we pray you'd help us to understand that also, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Numbers 9, and then if you hold your finger in Romans 12. Numbers 9, this is the Lord given the foundation for Judaism, the only religion of the Bible. And so we can apply some Judeo-Christian ethics when they're similar, but when there are differences, we need to make sure we separate the two. So he says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year after they were come out of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month at even, ye shall keep it in the appointed season according to the rites of it." And see how the word rites is spelled there? That's the religious rites of it. "And according to all the ceremonies thereof shall ye keep it." And then Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. Okay, so that's when you get the common saying, you paint the town red. That's to honor when the 10th plague, where the firstborn were just killed, and that night in Egypt, and the people who put the blood on the lintels and the doorposts there painted the town red. The death angel came over them or passed over the house, and everybody else that didn't do that, then they had a firstborn die. And so that's what they dealt with. And he wanted them to honor that on the first day of the month. Their first day would be our March, April. So according to the Jewish calendar, they would be coming into the first day of their calendar, which is very logical because it would fall in line with the first day of spring, where things are coming to life, new year. That makes very logical. Ours is based on the Greco-Roman calendar, where our new year begins in the dead of winter, and everything seems to be dying or dead, but actually it's recharging. It's like your cell phone on the charger, where in the wintertime, that's where the trees are recharging. Okay, so, but it makes perfect sense that the Lord would start it in the spring. And so that's what he wanted them to do on the 14th day of the first month. Okay, if their month begins in the middle of our March, that would basically land approximately on April Fool's Day. And I think that that's maybe the devil's way of mocking the Bible. But guess what? The fool of the joke's on him. Okay, and so praise the Lord for we're fools for Christ's sake, it says. And so that would be the 14th day. During the Lord's year, during his crucifixion year, which would have been, if you look at the Jewish calendar, and I really can't figure how that thing really works with the lunar months and all that stuff. I don't really care to take the time to figure it out. But that would have been 27 A.D. or 30 A.D. One of those 2 years is when the Passover landed on a Wednesday, and that would fall in line with Scripture. And as the Jewish high priest, either Annas or Caiaphas, was down in the Jewish temple sacrificing a lamb, the Lord was on Calvary at that time, the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. And then upon his death, then that veil too tore in two. And guess what was behind the curtain? Not the Ark of the Covenant. So what were they putting that blood on, you know, to put on a show for the people? My guess would be an image of Baphomet, because they were into that. And so that would be a shocker for the people to discover. So that would have been that time. Now, in this storyline, there's some people that wasn't able. I don't know, for some reason. He says here why in verse 6. That they couldn't keep the Passover on the first month, but yet they wanted to do that. And so the Lord gave them an option. So this would have been plan B. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron on that day, and those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of a man. Okay, wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, okay, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. So the Lord is, these men couldn't keep plan A. So they're asking, is there a plan B? So they were defiled under that religion. They could be defiled by a dead body. Okay, that's not a ruling in the New Testament, because our soul's separate from our body. But, somebody, Rensselaer was telling me this morning that a fella that he knew was worked in the detective department. And when you're in that department, you kind of see some gruesome things. And so he said he decided to get out when he was sitting there watching a guy do an autopsy, and instead of being, queasy stomach, he said he was sitting there eating a jelly donut. And the guy who was working on the bodies kind of said, "Do you mind?" And I don't know if he was smacking his lips. Can you imagine, being around some of the, all that stuff. He said, I think at that point I decided it was time for me to get out. And so, yeah, I would think so. I just can't imagine that. But that's what he decided. In the Old Testament, though, that would actually defile their body, because their body and souls were stuck together because they didn't have spiritual circumcision. They didn't have the benefit of the new birth that we have. Not that I want to be a part of something like that anyway. Okay, but that's what happened. So the Lord is giving them plan B. Okay, now in Romans 12, and the Lord follows this also. And he says, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in Numbers 9, according to Judaism, the perfect will of God would be to honor the Passover on the first day, the 14th day of the first month. But these fellows couldn't do that. And so the Lord said, okay, then we will have an acceptable offering. And that acceptable one will still please the Lord. And that starts in verse 9. So all they did is they waited 1 month. And this shows that the God of the Bible, depending upon our hearts, is flexible. And he gives plan B, plan C, plan D, so forth and so on. Okay, in the fundamentalist world, If you go to the qualifications of a bishop, or we use the word for pastor in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, for some reason, the big one for all of them is the husband of one wife, and for some reason they interpret that meaning only one marriage ceremony, and so they would disqualify anybody else because of that. But if one element there disqualifies a person, what about all the other elements? You know, vigilance, temperance, you know, not soon angry, all those other things. Now, if we put all of those together, nobody qualifies. And if one is going to eliminate any of us, then we would have nobody in a church, you know, as far as pastoring or deacons. And so in that context, you know, the Lord, they're interpreting that to be one marriage ceremony, but we're in a culture there, they were in a culture there where they had polygamy. And so that would be the most logical place to put that. But even at that, the Lord has plan B, C, D, E, because he reads the heart. Thank God that he doesn't throw us away if we don't fulfill plan A, because none of us would be around. So in Numbers 9, verse 9, the Lord spake unto Moses, speaking unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man of you or your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, so if they're traveling, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord the 14th day of the second month. At even, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Okay, and that would bring in, usher in the feast of the unleavened bread, which is another 7-day type of ceremony or rite, religious rite. And then it says, they shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinance of the Passover, they shall keep it. How precise is that? Break any bone of it. Remember, that's one thing about the Lord, where his bones were out of joint, but the bones weren't broken. According to Psalm, I think it's 34. Okay, and then he says, but if the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover. So there's the two qualification or the two options. Then this person is out. He said, even that same, the same soul shall be cut off from among his people. So, you know, these Jewish things, some people would say that's pretty strict. Well, if the Jews kept these strict rules and laws and regulations, they had a relationship with God that no nation had. To whom much is given, much is required. And a lot of times people will criticize the Bible and say, you know, you Christians, you know, that's so strict. And you know, well, that's for Israel. Why can't you rightly divide Scripture? You know, and in if any nation, when Israel kept their agreement with the Lord in the Mosaic covenant, God would bless them spiritually, financially as a nation, materially. And then he told them, now, when you get all these things, don't forget me. And then he had wise laws. And when foreign countries noticed that, their crime rate was very low, they were very prosperous, then they would send ambassadors and say, how can you have something like this, like the Queen of Sheba did when she heard about Solomon? And then Israel could be a testimony to these people saying, this is our God. He taught us these things. These are wise laws. And if you establish these wise laws, then you can experience the same prosperity. And Israel could be a testimony to all the Gentile nations, which is what God wanted them to do. But then they chased after Baphomet, they chased after Ashtoreth, and then everything went south, okay? And then they lost that testimony. And then the fake Jews came in and set up this banking cartel, And this is what we're experiencing today. In this past week, a lot of banks are going belly up. It's getting people's attention, but they don't understand why this is taking place. And if we read some Bible, especially in the Old Testament, on those issues, you got to kind of read Old Testament and discover that that fake money we have in our pocket, the amazing thing is we could take a fake document that costs 3 to 4 cents to a store and get something of value that's something that has no value. It's amazing that the Monopoly game is still in play. And they don't hide this. Modern money mechanics tells us that that currency has no value. And the only reason it's working is because of people's confidence. What happens if they lose the confidence? There'll be a run on the banks. And then at that time, they discover that that bank is only required to have 4% fractional reserve, meaning you got $1,000 in the bank, they're only going to give you $40. That's why the Bible says don't set your affection on that love of money, because it can fly away just like that from all of us. And this is what's happened to America. It's interesting to read the beginning history of America where, okay, they had the war from 76 until about 83 to when finally King George conceded and said, okay, everybody in America is an equal citizen like me. They are a king, their own island. Okay, then from 1783 to 1786, they had what was called Continental Script. And George Washington wrote, mobs are in the street, blood's running in the street, economy's messed up, bankruptcy's everywhere, runs on banks. And basically, the founding father was saying, was it worth it what we did? That was in 1786. Well, when you read the history of 1787, men got together and they started developing this national constitution. By the time it was brought in play, they had a debate on money. And they put 17 words in there. And the 17 words were that gold and silver was to be lawful money for all payments of debt. And when they accepted that in 1789, okay, after they finally got ratified about 1789 and up to 1791, George Washington wrote that the economy is booming, everything is settled down, and everything is flourishing just because they set up the Bible basis for money, gold and silver. What one little word, 17 words, from the authority of the Bible, gold and silver, because in the Bible, money is to be weighed. You'll find that with Abraham. He weighed the money to buy this land, and you find that with Jeremiah. He weighed the money to purchase the property because they had gold and silver coin. And the reason why they weighed it is when they had gold coin, the fingers would erode a little bit of the weight. And so that's why they started weighing it. If they saw a coin that was really, man, used, you know, some guy was really rubbing it off, that they'd weigh the money to make sure they got a complete ounce. And that's biblical. And so that's why it's wise. It's wise to have in your portfolio gold and silver coin. It's a wise thing to do because that has value. And this all goes back to 1792. And so what we're experiencing, what we're seeing in these bank failures, boy, it's kind of late to figure it out. It's kind of late to figure that out. But that's why we need to be forewarned by reading the Bible. Gold and silver, can't go wrong with that. I mean, that's a biblical thing. And so here in Numbers 9, he's giving them an option, plan A, plan B, plan C. And that's what the Lord will do when a person strives to obey the scriptures. So in verse 13, he says, the man that is clean is not in a journey, forbeareth to keep the Sabbath, even that soul, same soul, shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. Okay, and if a stranger, now a stranger in the Bible is a foreigner. Okay, so this would be not a Jew nationally. This might be a Jew religiously, okay, like the Ethiopian eunuch, but they follow the same laws. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto the Lord, according to the ordinance of the Passover, according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. Ye shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. Okay, born in the land, in our culture, that would be called freeborn. And that's what Paul said, he was freeborn. So our culture, man, it's the foundation of our country is just fascinating. But you had one ordinance for the foreigner and one for the commonwealth of Israel. So, and then the Lord reminded them about some of the glorious, visible evidences they had of this relationship with God. And when the nation said, there's no nation like Israel, when they did right. So in verse 15, on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, okay, this is a tabernacle. It's a tent-like structure. I'm kind of wondering if it's in a circular shape. I'm not quite sure on that one. It seems to be that way. But this is like a circus tent that can be whipped up in a couple hours. And this is what the priests were required to do. And it says, and then there was a cloud. This cloud appeared above it. And that was the Lord's visible presence. And then at nighttime, it would be like a cloud of fire. And even upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So, hey, how could you witness in those days? Very easy. Look and live. There's evidence of our God right there. You know, and that's why the Jews require a sign. You see, a lot of times if you get talking to people, they usually have an argument against God because they think that God is unfair and they think that God is hidden from them and God's silent from them. And in actuality, that a lot of that is true, at least the hidden and silent from them, and that's part of the age because we live by faith, not by sight. In the Old Testament, when God was fair to the Jews, had absolute justice. He was not hidden. He gave direct commands. Okay, the implications people usually say that today is, oh, I'll follow the Lord if I would get that. Yeah, but Israel didn't do that. And who do you think you're different than Israel? You might temporarily like Israel did, but what did Israel do when they got prosperous? They chased after their toys rather than the God who gave them the toys. And so that's just human nature. That's what man does. So in verse 16, so was alway the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle. Then after that, the children of Israel journeyed. Okay, and so they're going from place to place. As soon as they see that cloud start moving, Moses would say, hey, Aaron, look, look. Get the boys ready, and they'd get that thing all, put it on the wagons, and then just start following the cloud around. You know, and then once that thing stopped, okay, let's set up tent. Man, I hope it's not gonna be a quickie. I don't want to take it down and put it back up tomorrow. And just think about with Miriam when we get to chapter 12 of Numbers, they had to park for seven days. And 3 million people knew why they had to park for 7 days. Because Miriam was griping about her sister-in-law. What an embarrassing thing that they had to put up with. And so they parked there for 7 days. And then verse 7, there's the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle. Then after that, the children of Israel journeyed. And a place where a cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, and they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. So they just, how'd these people get fed? Can you imagine trying to supply the food for 3 million people? Well, that's something. You know, and then feeding these people, you know, and giving them water to drink. And of course, the Lord gave them certain things for that. And then in verse 20, and so it was when the cloud was a few days upon a tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, according to the commandment of the Lord, there they journeyed. And it was, and so it was when the cloud abode from even until the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining there, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not, but it was taken up, they journeyed. And why did they have to do this over 40 years? It's because they rejected plan A. They rejected plan A. That could have been pretty short-lived. But because they rejected plan A, and then God says, okay, plan B takes place 40 years from now. And yeah, that's how that works. And then at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept a charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Remember that this is south. And can you imagine the heat that they had to endure? And because of the heat, no doubt, they were very happy with each other. And there were no fussing going on. And there were no fighting going on. And they all had wonderful harmony and everything. When they saw the cloud out there, oh, God's with us, so we're happy. No, they had fighting going on all the time. And I like what one guy said, you know, why did the Lord pick them Jewish people for an example? He said, because, man, they're so cantankerous. If you can get along with them Jews, you can get along with anybody. And they discovered, though, that a holy God, you know, discovered basically, man, how do you live with a bunch of wicked people? And those wicked people discovered, how do you live with a holy God? And that's a thing that they tried to do. So, okay, that's chapter 9. And then chapter 10, he gets into the blowing of the trumpets. And so I think I'm going to stop there. So we'll go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to rejoice in your words. We thank you for them. Thank you for the testimony of your words. Help us to see that there's nothing new under the sun, that we might be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.